present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hook.
Hello, and welcome to the news quiz. We start with an item from the Didcot Round and About magazine, read for us by Brian Perkins.
Harwell Fun Club is having its annual nearly new sale of babies and toddlers. Along with clothes.
Thanks to Mrs. Dack of West Wickham for that. Now let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Fred McCauley. Opposite them on my left, Alan Curran and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, tell us about the Keep You at Home Secretary.
Oh, it's Charles Clark. He's trying to out-Blunkett Blunkett. I'm not suggesting he's having an affair with Kimberly Quinn. I don't think he is. I think she's fully booked, actually. There was a Law Lords ruling before Christmas that it was wrong to keep these foreign suspects in Belmarsh forever and ever and ever without charging them with anything. And the Law Lords said this would be illegal if you did it to British citizens. So Clark has got round the problem by making it legal to do it to British citizens as well. And in future, he, as Home Secretary, will have the power. He can just order them to be under house arrest for the rest of their life. And I heard his statement on this, and he kept using words like proportionate and balanced, indefinite house arrest, but 30 years if necessary. And I think his idea was that this was proportionate because, OK, you get locked up for the rest of your life without any trial, but at least it's house arrest rather than prison, so you can paint the skirting boards and put up some shelves and watch daytime TV. I think that's going to be a problem for him, actually. The European Court of Human Rights are going to find it cruel and unusual. These people who have to spend the rest of their lives watching Richard and Judy.
But they can catch Call My Bluff.
He's not contagious.
Clark seems to be bringing in laws for individuals now. This is a bit disturbing. They've brought in a law. You know the bloke who protests against the Iraq war camps outside Parliament? They've brought in a law specifically to stop that guy doing that. They're bringing laws specifically to deal with these 12 people who've been in Belmarsh. They're just making up laws like the criminal lack of evidence, open brackets, but I've got a hunch about this one, Sarge, close brackets.
In the same week that the last four Britons were released from Guantanamo Bay, Home Secretary Charles Clark announced a new security bill which will allow him to hold terror suspects under house arrest without charge. The toughest penalty the Home Secretary will be able to issue will be house arrest without access to a computer or a telephone. So, just like living with teenagers, then. Fred, why shouldn't we warm to climate change?
Because we're all going to be fine. Tony Blair says that we're all converging, all the countries in the world are coming together and we've got a sort of common purpose as far as global warming is concerned, and it's no longer an issue because his pal George W. has taken steps to negate global warming by encouraging nuclear winter. Once it all kicks off in Iran and North Korea, there's going to be a fine balance and George is going snowboarding.
Blair said that American policy was going through a process of evolution. Now, America
His knuckles
is
are coming off the ground any day.
One of the oil companies in the States has got definitive proof that they don't cause global warming, because there was a study conducted that was financed by one of the oil companies in the United States, and a guy called Billy Bob in Arkansas said, nope. and it only cost them $51,000. And he said, you sure? And he went, yep.
What's really sad is that even as we speak, Everest is full of Chinese measuring it. Because the only thing, why it's sad, is the only thing I know about anything to do with any mountains is that Everest was 29,038 feet in old money. And it isn't anymore. Because of global warming, it's getting smaller.
I don't think it's because of global warming, Alan.
Yes, it is.
Because they get to the top of Everest and they're that pleased to be there. They're all jumping up and down. Hey! It's the biggest snowdrift in the world.
According to one of the largest climate prediction projects ever run, temperatures around the world could rise by as much as 11 degrees centigrade. Mr. Blair urged George Bush to sign the Kyoto Agreement on climate change, but Bush doesn't sign his name to anything, mainly because the lack of opposable thumbs means he can't hold a pen. Jeremy, whose quota, quotes, prove that the election race is on?
This is Michael Howard, who's leader of the Conservative Party for a bit. He's playing the immigration card in a rather tawdry way. Politicians always do this. They say that there are understandable fears about immigration. And if you look at the opinion polls, people's fears about immigration always go up just after a politician has made one of these speeches. But the Tories are supposed to be the party of entrepreneurship. And lots of people that come here start up new businesses and things. We didn't know that we were lacking skills until there was immigration. We thought it was normal that all shops shut at exactly 5 o'clock and at lunchtime on Wednesday. We thought that it was normal for all food to smell like your nan's hallway. We didn't realise that curry wasn't supposed to be a kind of slightly spicy trifle. And it's a shame because Michael Howard is from an immigrant family. But you just feel like saying, look, lighten up, you know, you're in. Stop trying to ingratiate yourself.
This week, Tory leader Michael Howard unveiled plans to withdraw from the 1951 United Nations Convention on Refugees and replace the current asylum rules with a new quota scheme. Asylum seekers are not allowed to work and must rely on the charity of the British people, rather like Edward and Sophie Wessex. Alan, listen to this. I fought the law and the law won. Alan, what violent increase has prompted the government to come out fighting?
Crime.
Yep.
There's more to the programme than knowing the answer, Alan.
Is it about the crime figures that came
out? It's just the crime figures are down, yes.
Is that all that it is? If it's I fought the law and the law won, and the crime figures are up,
yes.
How does that play? Are the policemen doing the robberies?
Official quarterly crime figures published this week show that violent crime has risen by 6% in
the
last year.
He's reading that out. Well, that's nice. Imagine if we came in with just prepared things to say to you.
Charles Clark has promised his number one priority will be to drive down violent crime, which he will do in a stolen Ford Mondeo. Another Home Office survey published this week says that a quarter of teenage boys admit to being prolific offenders. But the same boys also admitted to sleeping with Kylie Minogue and having a better dad than your dad.
I've had a rotten week, actually, because I heard about that one in four youths being a serial criminal. And I got my two boys and two of my nephews. And I still don't know which one of them. But the other statistic was that only one crime out of 100 goes to court. So if you were to take four members of our audience, any four, I can guarantee that by extrapolating those statistics, 25 of those four will never go to court.
The fear of crime is always expressed by people who live in places like Buckinghamshire. Because I live in South London, people say, oh, aren't you worried about rising crime? And I say, no, not worried about rising crime. Our criminals are working as hard as they possibly can. They're working long hours for paltry rewards. Everything in Streatham has been stolen once already. We've got shops called Lockbuster Video and SIM Card Warehouse. Everything in the Yellow Pages under fencing supplies sells jewellery.
I have a problem with that. You raise the SIM card issue, and I've got a smart audience here. I've got to ask a question. This week, for the first time, the number of mobile phones passed the number of people in the country. There were 60 million mobile phones and 55 million people. Why do they keep getting stolen?
At the end of round one, the scores of Francis and Fred have four, but Alan and Jeremy Justin lead with 5 points. We start round two with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph, TV and Radio Guide.
Magic. This programme features David Copperfield's death saw act in which he cuts himself in half, last in series.
Thanks to Wally Brooks of Haxby for sending that in. Francis, who wants to make opting out of 1066 and all that history.
Well, the answer to every question on this programme is Charles Clarke, but I think this is his old job, is it? Education?
Yes, the not Charles Clarke.
That person, Ruth Kelly, that rather strange
no,
woman.
No, the other lot, Tories.
That was the, yes, well, you can't expect me to know the
we
name.
We need
the,
our history.
Name of the shadow education secretary, for heaven's sake. The shadow education secretary wants to teach 1066 and all that, and kings and queens, and rearrange the curriculum, that sort of thing. Is that it?
Yep. Yep.
I'm sure I'm only ever brought here to bring the Scottish slant and things, but this is British history, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to be taught. 1066, as we all know, north of the border, was when Rob Roy MacGregor and William Wallace fought Bonnie Prince Charlie for Mary Queen of Scots in Glencoe. And the winner got a McDonald's franchise.
You've been reading Mel Gibson, haven't you?
The Conservatives have announced they want school children to be given compulsory history lessons until they're 16. They want to introduce the compulsory history lessons to restore respect for our nation's heritage. If only they could do the same for themselves. Fred, what's John Prescott homing in on this week?
He has said that he can provide housing, cheap housing, at about £60,000. And he's going to convert personally a number of cottage hospitals. And the people that can buy the houses would be nurses, who unfortunately can't buy the houses because they've been made redundant because the hospitals they worked in have been shut down to be turned into houses.
Precisely. Brilliant.
Blair turned up at somebody's house, didn't he?
He did.
That was... Alan's
I'll pull the chain now. That'll give the full sound of it.
That was where Blair turned up at someone's house and he brought four cups with him.
Mugs?
Mugs, yeah. Well,
turned up at some mug's house then.
Well, he brought John Prescott anyway. The three other mugs.
Why did he bring all those cups?
Well, I think he feels guilty, actually, because there's a housing shortage. It's mainly because he and Sharia are buying up every available property in the country. But also, Blair, I mean, he's got to sort out the housing shortage, because if people haven't got houses, they can't be put under house arrest, so it's rather urgent now.
John Prescott unveiled a 5-year vision for housing in which 300,000 tenants will be able to buy a share of their homes. The plans involve key workers being allocated homes which will cost just £60,000. Unless, of course, the key work you do is helping run the country, in which case it's nearer £3.5 million. Jeremy, listen to this.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.
Jeremy, if you go down to the woods today, you're in for a small surprise. Why?
Oh, I can't... There is something about teddies and gambling and... Is it the grabby machines on piers?
Sort of.
You know those grabby machines that don't... Mind you, I got a camel in Brighton. It was the end of the day and there weren't many camels left, which meant that the grabby claw thing that came down didn't have much to brush up against, and I got right on this camel and I just felt a huge sense of victory. Anyway,
you've got two answers here. I mean, it's two points. It's not
well, I haven't got
wild...
any, so you'd have both.
Well, the woods, is it about,
about teddy
Tessa
bears.
Jowell and the fact that you, a teddy bear worth more than £5 can't be won because children will get a taste for gambling? And it's part of the same gambling bill that says, if you have a taste for gambling, come into our Las Vegas-style casino.
Surely if the kids became addicted to gambling by using the big claw thing, we'd be a nation of crane drivers.
The government wants to reduce the size of teddy bears given as prizes in amusement arcades in order to discourage children from a lifetime of gambling. The link between bears and gambling has been known for many years, hence the old expressions, do bears play craps in the woods? Alan, what blooming nonsense has the NHS come up with this week?
It's an infirmary somewhere. in the Daily Mail, actually, as it would be. I don't know whether it was anywhere else. There was a picture of a woman holding a bunch of DAFs and people catching MRSA round her. it's being a picture of the average hospital outside London. It's somewhere in the north of England, so thank God I'm not going to be ill there. But they have banned people coming in with flowers because the flowers have insects, and the insects have all sorts of diseases, and they don't have the staff to step on these insects when they jump out of the flowers into the open wounds of these patients who've been sitting in casualty for 6 months. It's somewhere like Rochdale. Not that there are. How would I know? Why should I say there aren't many places like Rochdale? I have no idea what or where it is, but it had...
Is that why you can't take a swan into the fracture unit?
No, that's because it
can break your arm. Look out, it's a swan! Put your arms behind your back.
I think we should say to anybody that's listening in a florist's, get out! You've only got minutes to live.
What about the florists in hospitals? Because they do push flowers at hospitals now, don't they? Outside cemeteries as well, which is in very bad taste.
They're pretty well the same thing these days, actually. You can actually set up a really good flower business between a hospital and a cemetery. You'd never stop. I mean, you just process them through. Briefly igniting them on the way.
I'm a bit worried about these mercy killings because I don't know. I don't trust my daughter. I love her dearly, but I've got some good records.
Visitors to Rochdale Infirmary have been banned from bringing bouquets of flowers for patients in case the flowers carry bacteria. Flowers are just the latest in a long line of things to be banned from NHS hospitals, along with beds, cleanliness, doctors and medical excellence. At the end of round two, Francis and Fred have 8, but Alan and Jeremy cling to the lead with 9. And we start round three with an item from the January 2005 edition of Cumbria, the best of the Lake District.
This uncompromising circuit of Skiddaw leads the walker into parts of the northern fells, where sheep far outnumber the walkers, and the walkers you do find have a satisfied expression on their faces.
Thanks to Kirsten Miller of Harrogate for that. Francis, which would-be Delia made a hash of her cookery course?
It's a woman in Northumberland, a 66-year-old woman called Patricia somebody, who made cakes, biscuits, that sort of thing, and decided they'd be even yummier if she put a bit of cannabis in them. So she did. And all her friends and neighbours in the village got very keen on this as well, so they set up a little cookery circle. They'd have these lovely coffee mornings where they'd sit there eating themselves silly. And it was so popular that she then, they had whip round, they had a sort of Christmas club type thing where they would all chip in, I think 150 quid each. She would take this money to Newcastle and go to the dope dealer and come back with this enormous stash and then make thousands more fairy cakes to get through the winter. And it was all going swimmingly until the police came along and arrested her. But she seemed quite cheerful about the whole thing. Well, if she's found guilty, Charles Clark will send her off to Guantanamo Bay, I
should think. I blame the parents.
66-year-old retired restaurateur Patricia Tabram admitted using cannabis in her soups, cakes and casseroles, as well as introducing locals to her secret ingredients. Regular cannabis use can produce serious side effects, including memory loss and paranoia. Cannabis can also cause memory loss. Fred, listen to this.
Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. Ooh. The whole day down.
Fred, why don't we like Mondays, in particular last Monday?
It was the most depressing day of the year so far. Some bloke came up with a formula, and I'm just trying to jot it down here because I think the formula is, if there's N, which is nothing in the papers, and Y is you and you've got a job at a university and there's nothing happening, and you come up with some other letters and numbers and you stick them all together, and theoretically it's if I just keep going like this, I will let me just prove that Monday wasn't the most depressing day of the year. It's today. Am I right?
You are.
You have to. You then give it. You give it a title to make it sound as if it's some tremendous discovery.
I mean, those well, what did you call it?
Call it 24-1 syndrome.
Oh, for goodness sake! We were depressed in Scotland because we had another 24 hours to go till Burns night. So in fact, we were just less depressed than we were on the 23rd. Because then we'd 2 days to wait.
When did records about depression begin? That's what I want to know. Because they always say, this is the slightly mildest day since records began. But when did these records begin? I'm asking questions.
One of the problems, really, is the phrase in living memory. Because I've been living more than most people, and my living memory goes back to about Tuesday week now.
That's why I've moved into a flat, because now when I go upstairs, I always know why. I'm going home.
All right, hours of endless fun.
What?
How can it just be hours if it's, the fun's endless?
A Welsh academic has proved, he says, mathematically, that Monday, the 24th of January, is the most depressing day of the year. Though if you're a Welsh academic, I'm sure the other 364 days of the year give January 24th a pretty good run for their money, too. Jeremy, why did driving give coppers the pip?
Oh, a woman was driving her car and was holding an apple in her hand. And all the police in the world were called to deal with it, and they scrambled helicopters. I don't know how you scramble a helicopter, but you need a big beater to do that. But everyone, and she was arrested, and she's been sent to Cuba, and because they said that apple could have been used to break a swan's arm.
Her name is McCaffrey. Can we get half a point for that? Isn't it?
Is it?
It was a Northumbria priest.
It was a Northumbrian priest.
Well, it might have been. Given the fact that it was a woman with an apple that brought crime into the world in the first place. Northumbrian priest have been waiting a long time to get their own back. In the event, she's quite lucky. She got a fine of £60 after 10 court cases that cost £10,000.
I better confess, I've eaten an apple whilst driving, and I'd like to take several other fruits into consideration as well.
There was a man as well who was fined for listening to Riverdance in the car.
Hear, hear.
I don't know quite how you're supposed to drive with both hands by your side. the pedals would be no trouble at all. You'd be able to brake and accelerate and declutch.
Northumbrian police spent £10,000 prosecuting a woman for holding an apple in her right hand as she made a left turn. If you're making a left turn, it's illegal to hold an apple in your right hand. You should be holding a banana. If you're making a right turn, you need to place a kumquat on your left knee. And if you're moving sharply to the right, you should have an assortment of vegetables called the cabinet.
I never thought I'd see the day when somebody would say kumquat on Radio 4.
Alan, whose raft of dreams sounds more like a ship of fools?
I've been asked to go on this. This is a bloke who's a Daily Telegraph ex-journalist. He's 78. And he's got a collection of old gutters and pipes. And he's bound them together with string. He's going to go across the Atlantic in it. He doesn't want to go on his own. He wants a 65-year-old raconteur. I have been approached to get on this Meccano thing, probably at Southampton, pedal out into the Solent with this 78-year-old man, and we eventually end up in New York, during which time I've told him a number of anecdotes, and he will have laughed himself silly, or the gulls will have eaten both of us. Now, since I turned him down, he's put an advert in the paper saying he wants a lot of 65-year-old raconteurs and musicians. And he's actually It's a raft built out of gas pipes. That's it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. 78-year-old travel writer Anthony Smith wants four male pensioners to travel across the Atlantic with him, strapped to a raft made of 40-foot-long gas pipes. Mr. Smith insists his crewmates must be male, saying, "I'm not being sexist, but four blokes is simpler."
He didn't tell me that bit.
Though that will cause terrible problems if they ever need to ask for directions. Before we reveal the exciting final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, this is a major Essex crime story reported in the Barking and Dagenham Post. Stephen Filtness of Barking broke into Heath's pie shop, Dagenham, and stole 1,000 tea bags worth £10. His defence lawyer said he's made some changes in his life and is trying to get help with his drink problem.
A Christmas Day walk designed to help people fight off seasonal inertia was abandoned when no one bothered to turn up. Well, there's more. The two-mile trek had been organised by Lyme Regis Society Chairman Bernard Spencer. "No, not one person turned up," he said. "Is that a record?" And someone said, "No. Once there was a four-mile walk that nobody turned up to."
Jeremy.
This is from Wednesday's Financial Times. A Metropolitan Police circulate in neighbourhood watch groups recounts the unusual conclusion to a robbery in Bow, East London. £5 was demanded with the threat of an unseen firearm. The victim, in fear, handed over £20. The robber then gave £15 change.
Alan.
San Francisco Chronicle. In 2002, Jerome Bellotti of San Mateo was taken on as an efficiency expert by the Marin County Welfare Department. After 2 years in the job, he discovered that everything he did was being done by two or more people, either above or below him. He resigned at Christmas and recommended that his job should be abolished. The county has replaced him with two more people.
Thank you. Thank you all. Let's look at the final score. Absolutely dead level. Everyone on 17 points. And before we leave you, here are the instructions from a deodorant stick sent in by Chris Griffiths.
Remove cap and push up bottom.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Wheen, Fred McCauley, Jeremy Hardy and Adam Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by George Pohl, Simon Littlefield, Lucy Clark, Paul Carenza and Roderick Crooks. And the producer was Katie Turner.